Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we read that together? Where's Mr. Rebo? Late. Okay. Can we read it again? 1, 2, go. Amen.
Amen.
So just stay with me. I want to do like a preamble before I go into the thing. So it's still linked to it, but just stay with me. Because now I said marriage, I'm talking about, you know. So can we read once again? 1, 2, go. Amen.
Amen.
So we know who wrote the book of Moses. I already said this. But Moses wrote the book of Genesis, Abi. Well, I already said it, so you can just do a sit with me. Are you comfortable? Try and relax. You're doing as if you're are you nervous? Okay. What's the name again? James. So in the beginning, from Moses' perspective, right, it says that God created the heaven and the earth. And typically, there's usually this question that people always like asking, which is that what was God doing before he created? How many of you have wondered about that thing before? If you wonder, raise your hand now. Like, what was God doing before he created the heaven and the earth? What do you think it was doing? Huh? Was enjoying his company, Abby. How many of you agree with that? Are we also recording, Wally?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I want as many of us that can listen to this thing again, I want us to listen to it again. So what was God doing? Someone, Joshua said he was enjoying his own company. You know? Now, it's usually a very, very funny thing to think about. Because your mind can go into many places. But there's actually an answer in the Bible. Huh? Just that the answer is not what people would want to hear. You know, people will usually want to hear that maybe before God created the heaven and the earth, there was another heaven, one far part that he created, you know, something like that, you know. That's what people want to hear. But the answer is in John 1. Can we go to John 1? John 1, let's read. 1, 2, go. It's fine. It's fine. Let's read John 1, 1. 1, 2, go. I'll be John 1. Now, in John's own perspective, he now talks of a different beginning. Abina, you know this beginning is different from the beginning of Genesis. Abi? The beginning of Genesis starts from creation. Huh? And the beginning of John starts from before creation. Are we together? So it then introduces the concept of creation in verse 3. Abina? That's the end. Then says all things were made by him. Right? So before all things were made, which is Genesis 1:1, you had John 1:1. John 1:1 and 2. Are we together?
Yes,
so in the beginning, what was happening? Now, Joshua actually got it. Joshua, what did he say? He was enjoying his company. So, all that God was doing before creation is that he was enjoying his company. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
He was what? Yeah, I like the way you put it. Because it wasn't just God singularly that was existing. It was also existing with the Word, which we now know as Jesus. Are we together? So we can say that in the beginning, God was enjoying the company of Jesus. Are we together? Now, this is very important to understand, eh? That the reason, you know, when we say the Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? The reason why they are one is that, and I think I've talked together before, is that they agree. Are we together? They are not the same person. It's not one God that is split into three people. It is three different people that are one. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes.
Now, why are they one? Eh? Because they agree with themselves. Amen.
Amen.
Hmm? They have their own individual will and personality, but they agree with themselves. They are so in alignment that it's almost like the three of them are the same person. Do you get my point?
Yes.
So if someone says something, another person will say it exactly the way he said it. If you can't meet another person, he will say it exactly the way he said it. So that's what makes them one. Amen.
Amen.
So we see here that creation came from, when we say creation came from God, it's like, okay, where did you come from? You came from a people that are one. Amen. The people that are united. Are we together?
Yes,
so the power of what we say God's power, or God's, what we talk about divine power, is really unity. That's why unity is such a big deal in church. You get? Our unity is such a big deal to God. Are we together?
Yes,
you can't achieve, it's such a big deal even to humanity. You can't achieve great things without being united. Even if you want to do bad things. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So, the people that we came from, right? We came from a people that are united. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like the fabric of existence, they're just like one. Maybe the way you've learned to school that there are molecules and everything, right? Like the fabric of existence is unity. Everything is coming from unity. Again, life itself was created out of unity. That is why in Genesis, what was the last thing that I just said now? Yeah, that's why in Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Are we together?
Yes,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? That the creation of man came from committee discussion. You hear what I'm saying? Right? He says, God said, let us. So they looked at themselves and they said, okay, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So that's what I mean when I say that we came from unity. We came as a result of a conversation. You understand what I'm saying? Just the way you came as a result of a conversation between your mother and your father. You get my point? Eh? Your mother and your father went to one corner and did one or two things. And that's what gave birth to you. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? People are doing that, so you don't understand what I'm saying. Okay, understand me, because I'm going somewhere. So, in Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Hallelujah. So in 27, he created male and female. You know, which if you read further, it would seem like a contradiction. Because here it says, it talks as if he created them at once. But from the story, we see that man was existing for a while before the woman came. Are we together?
Yeah.
Now, it's not a contradiction because it's just like now. The nature of God's creation is that everything, he doesn't create plenty things. Do you get what I'm saying? So if God wants to make a forest, God's thinking, he won't make a forest. He will make seed. Now that seed has forest inside of it. Are we together?
Yeah. All right.
So he created them at the same time, even though it's man he created first, because he will still later go on and bring woman from him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? So that one false teacher will not come and confuse you, and you know. If you're with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
So now, in verse 2, we now see how this thing played out. Okay? In verse 6. Or let's start from verse 5. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. And every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. Are we together? So there was a problem in the currents. When he created, just follow me, I'm going somewhere, please. So when he created the earth, there was a problem, you know, because God gave man, the earth was like God's the earth was man's responsibility. I mean, you remember now what of Christabel? Okay. What of Mirabel? Okay. So what was I saying? Yeah. So earth was man's you remember the blessings now, have dominion, subdue the earth. Obviously, it's like he conveyed the responsibility of the earth or the upkeep of the earth on man. Right? But then the problem was that nothing could grow because there was no man to till the ground, if you understand what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you couldn't see many things because there was nobody to cultivate the earth. Are you guys following what I'm saying? All right. So what he did was that he then caused like a mist, which is what we see in verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Amen. And the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So in chapter 1, just so that it doesn't confuse you, that chapter 1, it stops. It's like an account that they tell you, okay, day 1, this is what happened, day 2, this is what happened. In chapter 2, it's now going into the detail of what happened. So it's not like it has started again. It's still the same thing. It's just saying it from two perspectives. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that day that man was created, in quotes, this chapter 2 is now telling you what happened. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Christian, are you with me? Okay. Now let us go to, I don't want to read too much because of time. Um, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. Amen.
Amen.
To dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when God created man, please listen to me. When God created man, and this teaching, it might be like I'm talking to the man more, but there's a reason for it. But just hear me. But when God created this man, I'm talking about man and woman. When God created man, he gave him a commandment. Are we together?
Yes,
now that commandment is another word for purpose. Are we together?
Yes,
God created him. It's like this phone, right? You created it and then you gave the phone a purpose. What's the purpose of this phone? Make calls. Browse the internet, right? Now, we human beings are the ones that give this phone its purpose based on what we put inside the phone. So that same process is through the word of God. Are we together? Because God creates everything through his mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? So when God created man, he then spoke over him and commanded him. Now that commandment is what gives man purpose. In other words, is what to make God know if the man is working or not. Are we together?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So like this phone, if we made this phone to call, eh? But if the phone, if I should press phone number now, and you know, how many of you have had phone, maybe water enter the screen or something, and then you will touch call, it will cut by itself. You know, maybe, you know that kind of, you know. Now that phone is only a little while, you soon throw that phone away. Have you know?
Yes, sir.
Because that's not what the phone was meant for. So a man's words is based on whether he's obeying God or not. Are we together?
Yes,
right? The only way a man is worthy of living is if he's obeying God or not. That's why people that are not obeying God are going to hellfire. Amen.
Amen.
Hellfire is like a jota dump. That's what it is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
right? To you, it's suffering. Of course, now, if this phone could exist, the phone won't like it if it finds itself in Ojota now. It will be complaining, why am I here? You know? I should be in Ojodo. I should be somewhere else, right? But it will be there because it's useless. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So in other words, to you, the issue is, you know, how many of us are thinking that God is too kind to send people to hellfire? How many of you have thought like that before? You know, I expect you to think like that, you know. But that's from a human perspective. From God's perspective, you are dust. You get, they created you and they gave you purpose. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together? I guess following what I'm saying.
Yes,
please, everything I'm saying is still linked to marriage. Eh? I'm not saying anything deep. You get, it's still linked to marriage. Just hear me. So you are like dust. Are we together? You are an idea in God's mind. Okay? You are a vessel. You are for use. Everybody say, I am for use.
I am for use.
Yeah. God has an expectation of use. And so that is what determines if you are worthy to live or not. Amen.
Amen.
That is also what will determine whether you are ready to marry or not. Not your age. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I'll get there. But you are of use. You are for use. Eh? You are meant to be useful. Useful to who? Useful to God. Amen.
Amen.
So you need to think about your life and say, am I useful to God? Ask yourself that question. Am I useful to God? Ask yourself that question again. Am I useful to God? Is there a reason why you should not die now? Huh? Amen.
Amen.
I'm serious. You need to think about it, though. I guess. Huh? You need to think about it. Is there a reason why I should not die now? If I die now, who will cry? Apart from my parents. Are we together? Is there anybody that can say, wow, this guy changed my life. Oh, Lord. You know. Amen. You are quiet. So you need to think and say, am I useful to God? Ask yourself that question again. Am I useful to God? Yeah. That's the only thing that determines whether you deserve to live. Eh? If you are not useful to God, you are a liability. And we need to do crusade so that you can become useful. You know, that's why we do crusade. That's why we do church and everything, you know. How's evangelism today? Huh? Okay. And that's why we do evangelism, all those things, you know, so that people can be useful to God. It's not a bad thing that 5,000 people die. Are we together? He said, think about it now. You know, 5,000 people can die and life will continue. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Eh? Since this terrible God is too powerful, I didn't know how many people have been hungry since. You know, God is preserving you, so you don't know. Many people are hungry. Eh? Are we together? Many people are hungry. Hungry. Some people dying of hunger. I'm telling you, some are dying of hunger. And the world is still spinning. Yeah, tomorrow we come. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? Tomorrow we come. Even the people that love you, 3 years, everybody will move on. You understand? Maybe your mother, you know, mothers love their children so much. Yes. If I die now, my wife will remarry you. Don't think that she will love me so dearly. You know, that is the movie that one used to happen. That, Oh, I love him so much. But about 2 years, you understand? Even me from heaven self, I'll be telling her, I beg. I'll marry someone else. It's not, and there's a reason why. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. So, man's use came from the commandment. So because God commanded him. Eh? Duty, are you with me? Because man commanded him, that's what gave him purpose. Now, in verse 18. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, I said that God created... I've already established that point. But then after this commandment, there's now the concept of being alone. God now introduces a new word. You know, this is the first time this word was introduced, alone. Are we together? We know that before now, the concept of being alone had never existed, because even before all this creation, God was in the company of people. Are we now? So, before creation, God was not alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? But now we've created man, we've given him a purpose, and then now God is now introducing that word alone for the first time. Or can someone read maybe Amplified? What does it say in Amplified? Who has Amplified? Let me read my Bible. Amplified. Is it alone, Abby? Okay. Someone read another, maybe NLT or something. I just want to see if there's another. If there's no other word, it's fine. It's still alone. Okay, it's fine. So we now see the concept. Are we together?
Yes.
Bro, me shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we now see that word alone is now introduced. Now, why is he alone? Huh? Why is man, why was Adam alone? Huh? There was no other person. Exactly. Now, if you read it, it's the same verse. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. What does it say in Amplified? Let me read. Genesis 2 verse 18. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let me read. Thank you for reading. Now the Lord God said, it is not good or beneficial for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. Are we together? So the concept, the solution to alone is a helper. Are we together? Now, if I say I'm alone, what will be the solution? Eh? No. What I'm just saying is that if someone should come in and say I'm lonely, what will we say the person needs? Friends. Have we now? God did not give him a friend. Did God give him a friend? Did God even give him a lover? No. God gave him a helper. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
why? Why? Because there is a work that he's doing.
Yes.
Do you get my point?
Yes.
So the concept or the introduction of helper is to help the purpose. It's not romance. Are we together?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That he was... The reason why, you see, the reason why is not romance is because Adam did not know that he needed a helper. It was God that introduced the concept. So it's not like Adam was morose. Oh, I'm lonely. No. He was perfectly fine with himself. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes, sir.
It was perfectly... See, this thing, write this thing down because I'm going to come back to it. Are you fine with yourself? Write it down. Write it down because I'm going to come back to it. Adam was perfectly fine with himself. Adam was not looking for boyfriend or girlfriend. Amen.
Amen.
Write it again. Am I looking for boyfriend or girlfriend? Write it. Write it. Are we together?
Yes,
Adam was not looking for a boyfriend. Adam did not have emotional issues. He was fine. As a man, he was operating well. Hallelujah. It was not his appetite. You know, it wasn't like maybe someone, the girl is not talking to him. He doesn't want to eat again. He was operating well. His body was fine. You get, his emotions were stable, everything was flowing. But God looked at him and said that, look, for this guy to achieve this thing that I want him to achieve, he needs a helper. Amen. So therefore, the concept, when God is thinking about joining people, what he's thinking about is, can these people join so that they can now do the commandment I've given them? Are we together?
Yes.
That's what he's thinking. Do you understand?
Yes.
And that's why you will see how God joins. That's where we'll maybe end. How God joins people. You know? There's no formula for it. You see it. Where are we? 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Why was there not found an helpmeet for him? Because animal was not on that level of creation. Are we together? In other words, animals did not have the same commandments that God gave man. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you are listening to what I'm saying now.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord caused, 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Amen.
Amen.
So it is when Adam now saw Eve, right?
Yes.
He now said, ah, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Yes. In other words, he could have existed throughout his whole life. Yes. The reason why he did not know is God is like, you know, it's like God made him, so God knows what he made.
Yeah.
But him, he's enjoying himself. He's living his life, he's doing his thing. But God knows this guy, and he says that, okay, this guy that I've created, he needs a balance so that he can properly do what I've ordained him to do. So when we talk about loneliness, I know this is how God uses, when God uses words, you need to be careful, because when God is using a word, he's using it from his own perspective, not from our own perspective. So when God says it's not good for a man to be alone, or it's not good for a man to be lonely, when God is talking about loneliness, he's not talking about it the way we are talking about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we say we are lonely, if I tell you now, say it now, God does not want you to be lonely, say it. I'm not saying that God wants to give you a boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying that you have been sad in your life. There's now one man that will now come and now make you happy. What I'm saying is that there is someone, are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
There is someone that God is going to give you that is going to help you achieve your destiny. That is what loneliness is. Dutty, stand up. Stand up. Are we together?
Yes.
That is what... Did you sleep well last night? What time did you sleep? What time did you sleep now? 3 o'clock. So that's sleeping well. Okay, stand up. Stand up. What were you doing? You don't want to say? Nothing. You were just awake. Okay. And stand up. You're a night crawler, Abby. Stand up, stand up. No, it's not. Some people are like that. Stand up, stand up. Stand. Don't lean on the. It's because you are sleeping. It will help you. What was I saying? Yeah. So when God says, "I need to give you somebody," God is not saying, "Oh, you know, all these boys are messing you up." I need to give. That's not what God is saying. Are you guys hearing me? Are you guys hearing me? When we say loneliness, it's because you have a purpose that we now need to give you a helper, man or woman. Amen.
Amen.
It's not like you are suffering too much. Amen.
Amen.
So don't say you are lonely when you don't have a boyfriend. You are not lonely, you are broken. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You should be comfortable being single. Amen.
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 Are you guys hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The desire for boyfriend is brokenness.
Yes.
You're not working well. You need to, they need to, like this one, you know, this one now, it has spots. They need to carry you to Comta Village to fix you. If they fix you, that desire will go.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
So if you interpret loneliness as I need a man or I need a woman, you will be at odds with God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I get what I'm saying.
Yes,
I hear what I'm saying. Okay. No way, we are going somewhere. Therefore, 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay? So the concept of this is the introduction of marriage. Yes. God introduced marriage to man. So it is not man's idea. Man's solution. You remember, like I said, if a man now is feeling like he needs a companion just for companionship's sake, his solution is boyfriend and girlfriend. And the next level, yeah, let's take it to the next step. I mean, that's the solution. But that is not God's solution. So if God sees a man, and please hear me well, because they are young now, so that we need to fix it well. We need to fix it for too long, right? Because God does not change. If like if you become, you know, there's you know, God does not circumvent his process. You get, if you are 45, and you don't start this thing now, God will say, oh yeah, let's now fix you first. If he fixes you by 60, he will now say, okay, 60, you're not ready for marriage. Are we together? God will say, let's rush you. There's no point in rushing you, because if he rushes you, you are still broken. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So your problem has not been fixed. So hear me well now, so that your won't be too long. Yeah. But the issue is that when God introduced that, does anybody have any questions for me? In all these things I've been saying. I know you have questions, but you don't have. But when God introduced that thing, he introduced it for the reason of achieving purpose. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
That's the objective of marriage.
Yeah.
It is a relationship that is introduced for the sake of achieving purpose. So therefore, for it to work, there has to be a purpose already at work. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh? It is not the next, it's not like after you graduate from university, marriage. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not the next phase. It's not like, okay, we'll be dating now, let's take it to the next level. Are we together? Huh? It is not something that man initiated. You don't think about it. It's God's idea. God wants you to marry. God is interested. God is more invested in your marriage than you. Because he's the one that has purpose. You get my point? Right? So it is not what you, or it's not what we men conceive ourselves. The thing that makes it happen, we'll go into some other things now. And we'll see that it's not an age thing. You can marry old, young, middle-aged. You get? Right? What initiates it is purpose. Amen.
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 Do you get my point? Do you know what I'm saying? You don't have need for driver if you don't have car. You will get car first. Then you now need driver. You understand my point, right?
Yes,
if you come and say, I need a driver, and you don't have a car, they will say you are mad. Do you get my point?
Yes,
so you need purpose first. Then that purpose is now what brings the marriage. Do you get my point?
Yes,
so if you want to marry quick, get purpose quick. Do you get my point?
Yes,
if you get purpose by 20, you are ready to be married by 20. If anybody comes here and says that God has shown me that what I'm going to do in my life is that I'm going to Senegal or Sri Lanka. I don't even know Sri Lanka. God has shown me that he's sending me to Sri Lanka to go and start a church there. The next thing that will say is go and find a wife. That's the next thing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sure.
The point is that it is the purpose that now qualifies you for marriage. So if you have a purpose and you are on it, you are ready to be married. If you don't have purpose yet, see, purpose is not that you're coming to church. That you're coming to church. That's why I come and say now that I have purpose. Purpose is not that you're coming to church. It's a clear commandment. God told this guy, keep guarding. Everybody is clear about it. Nobody is confused. You understand what I'm saying? You ladies need to be careful because the guy can just come and say, I have purpose. And what is it? You get? And most likely, someone that has purpose, the way to know somebody does not have purpose is that he's saying all the time that he has purpose. It's reverse psychology. You have to, if you have it, you won't be shouting. You get? It will show. It's not a communication of mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? The people that are there, they don't communicate it via mouth. It will just show, everybody will just know that, okay, this one is a purposeful human being. You understand? But the point is that is what brings the conversation of marriage. You get? So, if you're going to marry early, what will make you ready for that marriage? It's not like the older you get, the wiser you will become. You understand? It's not like if you can marry a 40-year-old man that is a complete, is it, if you marry a 40-year-old man and you marry a 25-year-old man, it's the same thing. The two of them are learners. Do you get what I'm saying? They will still be learning on the job. Yeah, so it's not like 40 years of age will give you one kind of higher wisdom like that. You get my point,
yeah.
Right? So again, I need to say this thing. I need to say this thing. Eh? You want to marry early? Find purpose early. You get? You marry early. You want to marry late? Find purpose late. Do you know what I'm saying? It's purpose. You get. The more you try it, you will embarrass God and you embarrass yourself. Meaning, what I mean is that if you try and circumvent this thing, you embarrass yourself. Yeah. In this church, you embarrass yourself. Yeah. Because most likely, you know, God took wife. Let me not go ahead of myself, but let me just say that you most likely already know your wife. All of you here. Or at least maybe 80% of you here. You are looking at your wife or your husband. You know that person already. That person is in your life already. Yes. Right now. If you're consistent, if you're in this community, you have most likely already met your husband. Stand up. This guy, you are older than him, so but maybe you, well, how old are you?
14.
How old are you? 11. Okay. What is a small girl here? Okay, let me know easy. Yeah, to stand up. How old are you, Aisha? 14. Okay, and you can still walk. Come here. This Aisha is just sitting here like this. Do you know that your husband is most likely going to be in this place already? You don't know. Okay. No, sit down. Okay. But I'm telling you the truth. The way you're seeing Aisha like this, we would all be alive in Jesus' name. We'll all be alive. Yeah. We'll get CV. IV. Yeah, I'm serious. There's a reason for it though. And is the wise way. It's the wise way. I'm telling you the truth. We'll get there. Huh? So you don't want to circumvent what God is doing, because it's like you're pouring sand into your garage. It's like the place that you are meant to marry from, you are embarrassing yourself. Do you get what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
So how many of you are ready to marry? Let us go to Genesis 24. Now you will see before we look at Genesis, what kills this thing is lust. Okay? This is what kills this thing. Do you understand? It's lust. Again. Any Asha? In Genesis 24, in verse 1, I want to move on, but it's like I'm just being pulled back. I need to say it again. You know, understand, see, that desire for boyfriend and girlfriend, part of the reason for this teaching is so that this word, when it enters your heart, it will kill that desire. Okay? Because in place of that thing, a seed of purpose will be sown. Do you get my point? Right? If not, that thing will be there, and that thing, it will be heavy. You know? I tell you the truth, it will embarrass you. It will embarrass you. Especially if you're innocent, if you're not a bad boy. It will embarrass you. All of a sudden, maybe one day you just text one girl out of the blue. I just want you to know that I've always been admiring you. You know, this kind of funny things. You know? You that you should be arrogant. You get? Hmm? You that should be arrogant, you know. You know, this thing is like job application. You can do, you know, you can look at people and say, okay, you want to marry me, Abi? Okay, what do you have? What do you have? Not money, as far. What kind of God do you have? You know, you will do it like, you'll be so arrogant. You get? Eh? Even though you are broke. You understand? You'll be so arrogant. I can never marry a girl like you. Yeah, you get, right? You that are meant to be like that, you'll be, you know, you'll just be embarrassing yourself. So in Genesis 24, and so you too, as a lady, you need to know this thing. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Deal with lust in your heart. Stop. His purpose is not. Ah, God. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's purpose. You get. And Abraham was old and was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant. Now, the reason why I'm saying, everyone hear me. The reason why I'm saying that you will most likely marry somebody that you know is because of compatibility. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, when we say that God can, you know, for instance, when we say that God's, you know, for instance, Adam, God is the one that chose his wife. Abi? And when we say that you shall allow God to choose your wife for you, or you shall allow God to choose your husband for you, please understand, we're not saying that God is going to go and bring one body from Sierra Leone. Eh? God always is going to bring from the pool. God has a pool of people that he brings from. Are we together? God is not going to bring, you know, God will never, okay, it's not like God will come and tell you, that man you want to marry is not my will. You're not going to bring your old boy. Your old boy is not part of the pool. Do you understand?
Yes,
so God is still going to bring somebody that is compatible with purpose. Not with, I like your Esther, I don't like your Esther. That one is fake compatibility. God is going to look for somebody that is compatible with your purpose. So those people, they are limited. They belong to a certain pool. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you together? I remember what I said. I said that this thing, I'm trying to replace that boyfriend and girlfriend thing. Okay? So please hear me. Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and was stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Amen. Amen. And Abraham said unto his eldest servants of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Abraham was old, eh? And at this point in time, Sarah had died. Okay, so Isaac was just alone. So Abraham now called the servant. Now said, swear. He said, swear. Go and find a wife for my son. From where? Eh? No. Well, he says from where in the next verse, but he says from where not. That's the first thing he said. Eh? So he said, I beg. You're not even I beg, you swear. Swear. Don't go and carry wife from the daughters of the Canaanites. Are you together?
Yes.
Now this is not how a rich man originally should talk.
Yeah.
Are you now? Because when a man is rich, he has choice of women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I mean, why do some of you guys want to make money? So that you can have choice of women. I mean, but these people are rich. They have choice of women. But they said, no. This pool is contaminated. You must not go and bring wife from this pool. Verse 4. But thou shalt go to my country. Are we together? My kindred. And take a wife unto my son Isaac. So he's now saying, oh yeah, go to my people. In other words, we have all the money in the world. We can pick any woman we want to pick. But no, we have limited our choice to a particular select people. Why? Because I have a covenant with God. This covenant is not compatible with this Canaanite women. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes.
So when we say that God is going to bring somebody for you, right? God is going to bring somebody out of a pool. Amen.
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 Are we together?
Yes,
God is going to bring somebody out of a pool. Now, don't just be selfish. You said, think. Ask yourself another question. Am I in the pool? Ask yourself. Write it. Write it. Am I in the pool? Eh? Tell yourself the truth. Do I deserve to be in this pool? Write it. Write it. Write it. Write it. Amen.
Amen.
Christian, are you in me? Are you in the pool? Eh? What's your name again? Olayemi. Okay, are you in the pool? Ask yourself, am I worthy to be in this pool? Amen. Because you see, many people will be saying, is it the things you need to fix? So instead of thinking about boyfriend, be thinking, you know, God, me self, am I the answer to somebody's prayer? Is it not to occupy you? Amen. And that's what shocks people. People think that they deserve happiness in life because they are pretty. You don't. You get? You know? Abina, women think they deserve good man because they are beautiful. No. Nobody deserves good man. It's not a thing of you deserve. It's that you in the pool. The good men, the good women, God knows them and God is linking them. You get my point, right? So walk to be in that pool. You get? It's like God has, it's like they have their own dating app. Only them. You get? It's not for everybody. It's only them. You get? There's nothing you can do. You can't pray to enter into the pool. You can't come to church for 3 months in a year. You have to be God's person. And then you now enter into the pool. They now think about you. Okay. Ah, this girl, this destiny. Okay. All right, let us relocate him to Abuja. That's when they will start the linking. If not, you are your own. You are just doing your own thing. And whatever you see, take it like that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Don't think that good men are everywhere. Let me tell you for a fact. Good men are rare. Are we together? Are we together? Good men are rare. Ha! The amount of men that can have money and still be faithful to their wife is rare. It's rare. By the time the woman begins to just give birth to like 5 children and her tummy is already beginning to I can still look at her and say, you are the wife of my youth. Amen.
Amen.
Why are you surprised? Some of you ladies have grown married men not come to meet you. Who say yeah? Joa. No, it's a fact. No, it's a fact. Has a married man come to meet you? I know. I know them because I'm like them too. not in their evil ways, but I mean, in their, I mean the life stage, you get, so I understand it, you understand? Amen. Where are we? Well, verse 4. So please ask yourself, am I in the pool? How do you enter this pool? Purpose. You get? But I shall, verse 4. But I shall go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You see, this thing there is a very powerful story. What's the time? We have time, Abby. Okay. Ah, let me read this then. Read Isaac, how Isaac got his wife, then how Jacob got his two wives. Then we'll close. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring my own son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son hither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this linking, it's angel. You see, the thing, it's God's economy. So I don't need to say all those things, but many things are, you know, like angel can say you must meet that person by force. Nothing will happen. You must meet that person. Are we together? So you need to be careful, because you see let me tell you the truth. This thing is more, do you believe this scripture?
Yes.
Do you believe this scripture?
Yes.
This thing is more powerful than any generational curse that might be in your family. A lot of people that are saying that they delay marriage is that they are not in the pool. They enter the pool late. So now, in our story, God must do his process. So that you enter 35, don't rush God though. Yeah, nah, don't rush God. God must do his thing. So that thing that they're saying is delay is the standard process of God. And when the thing happens, they can meet one guy in 2 weeks, they marry the guy. Do you know what I'm saying? So please, this one is not, being in God's pool is more powerful than, I don't care where your grandparents, maybe they said they sold you to River Goddess. This pool is more powerful than any of those things. Are we together?
Yeah.
Yes. They can't cover this pool with jazz. Okay. So let us read on. You can read this story. It's a very powerful story. But let's read on to where the master went. Let me jump. Let me read it so that it's powerful when I read it. Because we're not rushing. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be cleft from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So where is Rebekah from? What family is Rebekah from?
Abraham.
She's from Abraham's family. Okay? That's why, you know, I mean, them, they used to marry their sister literally. You marry your sister spiritually. Have you know? His sister. Yes. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Amen.
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 So you see why, now you see, when they introduced Rebekah, what did they say about her? It's in the Bible now. What did they say about her? She was beautiful, Abby. She was a virgin, Abby. Eh? No man had known her. But you see, those are the physical characteristics of Rebekah, but that's not why she was chosen. I mean, she was chosen because she fetched water for the camel. Abina, that's what the servant said. He said, Lord, how will I know? Let the woman that comes and sells me, blah, 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 blah. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So the pool is not beauty that makes you into the pool. Beauty is just the physical characteristic. But that is not what makes you enter the pool. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
so when God is saying that as a woman, you should not just see beauty from the outward stuff, but you should look at inside, because that one is more valuable in the sight of God. There's a reason why. Are we together?
Yes,
I can guarantee a woman that does not focus on her inside is not in the pool. That's Canaanite woman. What's Canaanite woman? Canaanite woman is external only, nothing inside. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
eh? Stand well. Canaanite woman is external only. She has nail, everything. Inside, nothing. Are we together?
Yes,
God's woman is that she has something inside. Something else, once in a while, it might show, it might not show, but that's not really the focus. I'm serious, so we'll read Jacob's story. Where are we? Favor, are you here? Are you in the pool? You don't know? Ah, you should know. I should be praying to God. God, please make me enter the pool. And the man And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in my father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Let me jump, because of time. Let me jump. Where shall I go to? Verse 50. Amen.
Amen.
Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeded from the Lord." So what had happened was that he had introduced himself to the family, and then he started telling them the story about how Abraham sent him, blah, blah, blah. So in verse 50, he said, "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken.' And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go.' And he said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.'" So this whole transaction happened in one day. He went there, he saw her, they did 15. The next day he said, "I want to go." And I said, "No, now let us stay for 10 days." He said, "No, no, no." Verse 57, and they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So imagine, in one day, the lady said, "I'm going to go, and I'm going to meet a man. I've never met this man. I've not met this man before." You understand? You just came with word of God, and he said that this is what God has sent you to do, and we are going. Amen.
Amen.
See your mates. Because this girl was not 52 when she did this thing. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
She was not 35. If she reached 22, I'll be shocked, because you know, then they used to do early marriage. She was probably 16, 17. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
What age?
16, 17.
You will not marry 16, 17. What I'm saying is that at 16, 17, she has this level of maturity. Amen.
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 So these are the people you should be comparing yourself to, not Meg Thee Stallion. Those are not your mates. Those are Canaanite women. Are we together? Cardi B. Those are Canaanite women. Amen.
Amen.
Tiwa Savage. Those are Canaanite women.
Yes, sir.
It's not supposed to be saying yes, sir. If Tiwa Savage say now that, if Tiwa Savage say now that, have you sworn in your life that no matter how much money I make in this life, I'll never marry a woman like that? Have you sworn? You have to. If you've not yet sworn, then it means that you are still contemplating it. Now you can say, well, you know, me, I'm seeking God. So we can make it work. You get? As a lady, have you sworn that I would rather go marriageless than marry a man that is not from God? Have you sworn? Do you understand? Because if you've sworn, if you've made that decision, there is no boy right now that will appease you. Are we together? It's not possible. If in your heart you have sworn that I will never, the caliber of men that I marry is Isaac. Amen. Not money. The caliber of men, my mates, all this damsel of the Lord I'm doing, all these covering your head. All this damsel of the Lord I'm doing is so that I will marry a man of quality, like Isaac, like David, like Moses. And I would rather be marriageless. Amen. Where are we? And they called Rebecca and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And he sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. Now, can you see, you know this Rebecca, she's not a small girl. Like, you know, she has damsels, you know. And she was the one that fetched water for the man, you know. Amen. No, we speak volumes. You know, princesses don't like touching. You know, what was it, princess? What was this? You know, don't, I'm okay. I don't get my hands dirty. I don't, you know. And some of us, we admire women like that. You know. They say, I'm ever want to be princess. But this is our kingdom, our princess can pray. This is not princess of they'll be serving you food. And you'll just be enjoying in one room upstairs. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Our princess can pray. Our princess can take care of husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our princess can fast. Our princess is like Esther. You know, when we are doing beauty pageants, it's like Esther, we are doing beauty pageants. You can sit down. Amen.
Amen.
I said, we're quiet. Like the thing as the... Verse 62. And Isaac came from the well of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and loved Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen.
Amen.
So God can arrange marriage, okay? Arranged marriage is not a thing of the past. Is amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, like I said earlier, this Isaac had Sarah had died for a while, and Isaac, clearly he says there that Isaac was grieving, you know, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca. You know, so for many years his mother had died. You know, he was like a mommy's son because, you know, they had that unique because of how he was born. You know, so his mother had died. He was, you know, grieving his mom's death, and it didn't occur to him that he was going to marry anybody because, you know, they were in Canaan. So the only women around him were Canaanite women. As for him, he was okay. Now, like this, we go there. You get? He wasn't thinking marriage. Yeah, just because I can't marry any of these women. Are we together? So, as a man, is your conviction that strong? It's not that anyone that come, he will say thank God. Are we together? As a man, is your conviction that strong that it won't happen? Not even just you know, when I say Canaanite, because you know there's Christian that looks like Canaanite women. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? You know, there's Christian lady that looks like, so I'm not even talking about, because yeah, you will say, hey, I'm not going to marry an unbeliever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Christian that does not look like it. How long are you ready to wait? Are you ready to, it will never happen. Now, it is very important because I tell you for a fact, if you marry the wrong person, it is difficult for you to achieve your purpose. I don't know how you will do it. Maybe God will have mercy on you, but it's not what you want. Let's look at Genesis 26. We'll read Genesis 26. And then we'll just read something briefly. Now, one of the reasons why Esau was a profane person, you know, the Bible talks about Esau being a profane person. Are we together? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where is that in the New Testament? I think it's in Hebrews or something like that. I think it's in Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken. Can someone look for it? Where it says Esau was a profane person. Huh? Hebrews 12:16. Okay, let's go there. Dutch, are you here? Are you with us? Okay. So please, be in the pool. Okay?
Hebrews 12:16. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau.
Yeah, so other scriptures say profane. It's just talking about how the profanity or the unholiness there is referring to how he treats serious things with brevity. So something that is serious, because he's a carnal person. What I'm saying now is one of the most important teachings you will ever hear in your life. Because this teaching is linked to your usefulness to God. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, what I'm saying, the importance is not external. You know, for instance, this service or this fellowship is being had in a living room. It's not a mega conference. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, if you're a profane person in this context, what it will mean is that you will wait till Messiah's love to hear serious message. That's the kind of heart you will have. Meaning, you're waiting till, in quotes, serious meeting to be serious. So, in other words, you don't understand the value of spiritual things. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? So that's what profanity is. You're maybe you're waiting for one greater man of God to come and tell you this thing before you believe it. You get what I'm saying? But if you're not a profane person, you will recognize the importance of what I'm saying. Even though I'm saying it maybe in a way that you might not even like or something. But you just understand that there's weight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, part of how Esau's profanity also manifested is that he just went to marry anyhow. Are we together? In Genesis 26, verse 34. Are we there? You hear that? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathshemah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Why? Huh? What? Exactly. This family, they don't marry outside. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? Isaac, the wife himself, they went to go and bring somebody from the kindred. You get? Because this is a special family. What God is doing with us is special. You understand what I'm saying, right? We don't just marry anyhow. We don't just marry from outside. We have a pool of people that we pick from. So Esau just went. Just saw a fine woman in Canaan. Just went to go and marry. Are we together?
Yes.
And he now says that it was a grief of mine. The spirits are like, God, this guy don't mess up. Now, it might seem like a small thing, but in verse 28, you know, after the whole drama, he said, it's from this day. I'm telling you the truth. It's from this day that Rebecca started plotting that this guy must not get his blessing. Because that's the, he sealed it this day that he will scatter the thing. You might not understand what I'm saying. When you grow up, you understand what I'm saying. Now, the plotting, you know the plotting now, how they would switch the blessing and everything. All that had happened. Then from verse 28. Now, many of us think that Isaac was deceived. Isaac was not deceived. Isaac knew, but he played along. Are we together? Because in verse 28, after that whole thing happened, he now called Jacob again. Read it, chapter 28.
They said, you see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So he said,
No, hold on. Genesis 28, verse 1. Are we there? You're there? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you there, Kingsley? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Are we together? So after that whole thing that happened, he now called him again. I said, look, see, don't go. I mean, that thing was an issue. Verse 2. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Remember Laban? You know Laban is where the servant came to take Rebecca from. And I said, I'll go back there and take another wife from there. Amen.
Amen.
So Isaac knew after the whole thing that happened, he said, but okay, now this is what I'm not telling you to do. Go and take wife. Go back. Go and take wife from that place. So I'm telling you, if in this matter, if you are profane in this matter, and you just go and carry wife and husband from Canaan. I don't know how you achieve your purpose. I don't know. Maybe God will have mercy. I don't know. But don't get to that place, please. Don't get to that place. Are we together? So it has to be serious, you two. From now, everybody that you see, are you in the pool? If you are not in the pool, I'm sorry, we can't do anything. If you're not in the pool, you can't do anything. I'll swear, you know, you never in my life yet. If you swear, your body will react. It's because you have not sworn. If you make it as an oath, your body will react. Meaning that eventually, you will even become sexually attracted by prayer. Meaning when you start seeing a prayer woman, you'll be like, wow. Wow, see woman. Ah, I should marry this girl. Yeah. It will affect you that way. Yeah. As a woman, when you start seeing on crusade ground, maybe start seeing guy preaching, like, oh boy, eh. Yeah. It's because the decision is a flaky decision. It's more like, it's more like you are there, but you're not really there. You're not really there. You're just deceiving yourself. So when a boy comes, you always be trying to, okay, how can I take it to where I will not go to the edge? So you always be on the edge. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody say, I'm not on the edge. Verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. So that's what I'm saying, that he now, after that whole thing, he now called him again, gave him commandment, and blessed him again. You get? So he was fully aware. It's not like it's not like when he was there, like, I wish Jacob, you know, this. No. They were in alignment. Everybody knew what they were doing. Then Jacob now left. Then you can sit down. Then in verse 29, I'll begin to close now. Are you blessed? So you can read it on verse 29. He goes there. He now meets Rachel. Okay? And then he now starts working for Laban. Verse 14. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest now therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when we look at this thing, are we together? Please hear what I'm saying.
Yes,
now, when you see that Leah was tender-eyed, you know, tender-eyed is a bit of a... It looks like a good thing, Abby. Maybe she has soft eyes. But actually, it's a spiritual way of saying that she's not pretty. What it's really saying is that she's weak-eyed. Meaning that if you look at her, you know when you... You know, a beautiful woman, if you look at a beautiful woman, men understand this thing. You are scared to look at her face. How many of you have seen a girl that is that pretty? Like, you understand what I'm saying, Abby? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, her face is, when she just enters the room, you will just be shaking. Like, your body, how many of you understand? You guys don't want to, you guys are strong guys, you guys are not. But it happens like that. Now, when he's saying that she was tender, and when he's saying that she's weak, I mean, when you look at her, you'll still be strong. You know, meaning her face is not that appealing. Are we together? So, Leah, in other words, it's just a spiritual saying that she's not fine. So, in other words, Leah is not fine. Rebecca is fine. Are we together? And Jacob loved Rebecca. Sorry, Rachel. And Jacob loved Rachel. I mean, you know, this girl is fine. Like, this is one, nobody should, this is one me I want. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that even that desire of Jacob that, ah, see fine girl. It was still holy. Why? She was in the pool. Are we together? It's different from Canaanite woman. You know what I'm saying? Because the first thing that made him see her was that he obeyed his father's commandments. And he went to that place. He now went there. He now saw a fine girl. I said, wow, this girl is fine. Let me go and pick. So, if you are going to pick or be picked, the only thing that can consecrate that picking is if the thing is from the pool. And it can only be from the pool if your mind is consecrated. You can't use sense. You can't be a fake Christian. It's not possible to be a fake Christian. I want to pick from the pool. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Because even you yourself, you can't have it. You can't have the desire. Okay, because this pool is real pool. It's not fake pool. I'm not talking about all the stories that you have heard that maybe Muslim will come to church. You're not going to marry one girl. It's now maybe the night of the wedding. Have you heard of any of those stories? The girl is a fake Christian. It's not possible. Uh-uh. Firebrand. By the time the girl starts kaboshing, you will run away. It's not, you can't be. It's not possible. It's because the girl was just a naive person. Do you know what I'm saying? So, even if, that's why I said that there are many forms. Some, they are arranged. Huh? Some, hey, it's nice to see you. Some, oh, why, ah. Oh, wow, this is record lateness. Because church has finished. Church, no, but see that, you're welcome. It's actually nice to see you. Come on, I think there's a seat there. How are you? Hi, it's nice to see you. Hope you are good. You are good, Abby. How is your friend? Eh? That's his brother, Abby. Oh, okay. How is he? It's fine. Okay. It's very nice to see you. What was I saying? Yeah. That one cannot happen. No one can know happen. If you're firebrand, firebrand is real low. Okay, I don't mean fake, you know, many people have fake fire. I don't even know what I mean by fake fire. I don't even know what I mean now. Fake fire. Meaning you have all the language, but actually you're not doing anything, you know. And you don't want to be in that place. All this small girl, big god kind of people. You know, fake fire. I guess. You know what I mean now? Small girl, big god. You know. So even Jacob's, this girl is fine. You know. It was still in alignment with God. Okay? Meaning that love. And the love he had is very powerful. Love. For it to work for 7 years, and it'd be like, you just, that's real love. You know, real love, you know. You understand? Right? And in fact, he eventually ended up working 14 years. No, he ended up working 14 years. So even after the first year, he didn't get frustrated and left. He said, no, I will stay. I must marry this girl. You understand? Amen. That's how you know a serious man. You know? Amen. So where are we? And Jacob loved Rachel and said, 18, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Amen.
Amen.
And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. Okay? So, you know, if you truly love somebody, you can wait. You understand? If the love is shocking you that right now you want to start, you know, if someone can wait 14 years to marry a woman, you understand? I don't see why you cannot wait 2 years. You understand? So if there's anybody in this church now that your blood is so hot, so is it that your blood that is hot? It's not love, it's lust.
Yeah.
If it was love, you will wait. Are you hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
if it was love, you can wait. You understand? Because I don't know the love that you want to bring somebody into your brokenness. You understand? That's not love. That's selfishness. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
That's self. You are being selfish. You are suffering. Why do you want to bring somebody into your suffering? You get? Is it when they told him 7 years, Jacob did not complain. Because Jacob knew. You know, Jacob went to Laban broke. You know, now he didn't have any property or anything. He left Isaac empty. He didn't say, I want to marry now. Because he even tent, he does not have. This one, he does not have. They say, okay, I will work for 7 years. He'll be saving up his money. You understand now?
Yes.
He'll be doing his thing. And when 7 years now reach, oh yeah, it's time to marry. So if your blood is hot, say if my blood is hot, it is not love. It is lust. It is lust. There's no love that if I don't have you now, I'll die. It's not. It's lust. Eh? Are we together? And let me just give you this advice as a lady. Any guy that is bombarding you with love, you know what I mean by that? Maybe today you buy this one for you, tomorrow you buy that one for you. It's just because of what he's trying to gain. He doesn't really like you. It's a technique. We learn it. You get? There's a school for how to get girls. It's part of the school. If a guy goes to that school, it's one of the first things you'll be taught. If you want to get a girl, be disturbing her. It's the first lesson. You get? Are we together? So that show of love is not, as he's showing you that love, he's talking to his friend. And that's why he could do him now. Yeah, that text. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not like he's a calculated, and it's always time based. You know? That's why after like 6 months. You know, even them on Twitter, they always say it now. Why would I be spending money on you? It's not time. And you not give me anything back. You now start being angry. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it's not love. You understand? If it's love, read that First Corinthians. Well, I think the very first thing they said is that love is patient.
Yeah. Right.
That's the very first thing they said. Love is patient. You get? So if you want to love a woman, learn patience.
Wow.
So be patient with yourself. Yes. If you have purpose, when the time is right, God will come. Until the time is right, be patient. You are growing in love.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, I think, let's just pray. I just want you to pray one prayer point and say, Father, you know, because I've already taught you now that one of the things I've taught you is that if you can't be alone, it's because you're not working well. You understand? And all of us, we're all broken. You get? I'm not saying it like I'm a master or something like that, you know. You know, but I'm just telling you the truth so that I can know how to pray and know how to address it. You get? That desire, you know, that thing of you see maybe one tall guy, your heart is beating, all those things is because you are not functioning properly. Okay? And it's because maybe as a guy, you know, so many guys, they'll not be daydreaming. I've been there before, so I understand. You know, you'll be daydreaming that, oh, I'm going to marry this girl. All those things is because you're not functioning, and it's because you don't have purpose. Also, if you want to rededicate your life to Christ, maybe you're not saved. If you're not saved, you want to rededicate your life to Christ. While you're praying this prayer, I also want you to make that decision. It's not about coming out or anything. You, God is here, so you talk to God. So don't say, Father, you know, fix me. You know, that's the first prayer point. fix me. I need to be patient. This lust, I need to deal with it. Also, if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, please make that decision. I'm praying to God and say, God, I'm coming back again. I want a true relationship with you. I want this one to be real, and I'm not going to leave you again. And if you're not born again, say, Father, I want to have a relationship with you. All these things we're talking about, myself, I want to experience them. And I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my friend. I want to have a real experience with you. And for the rest of us, just pray on, like I said, just say, Father, I want you to fix me. I want to be strong. I want to be strong. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. Rubalakaba shatali broko baraki bodoska sabre de bushke sabru kosta sabre kabulu kosta obri kabalakuska satali broko shatali broko shabarabalabus arabalabuko shatali broko barakabalakabukosha. When Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. All right. So please meditate on this. Those questions I told you to ask, meditate on them. Okay. Are we together? Yeah. Meditate on them. Don't ignore them. Go back to these things as much as possible. If you are here and you have data, make sure you listen to this message again. Are we together? Make sure you listen. You see, this kind of message, you need to create a kind of atmosphere for it to really sink in. So it needs to be part of your devotion. Are we together? So pick a day, make it a part of your devotion, meaning that you might even fast that day or something. You don't need to fast. Just pick a day, be serious with it. Like, listen to it, pray about it. So that it can form in you. This is not the message that every message do, you know. Always go back to messages, but this kind of message, for it to really sink in. I know you are blessed, but I'm telling you, there's more. You get, there's more beyond even what I've said. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As a fellowship, the Holy Spirit, you understand what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit will, you will do another level of it again. Because it goes deep. Deep. So please, make sure it's an instruction. The only people that are not, that are exempt from this are people that don't have, and even if you don't have, find a way. Yes, if you have, like, you know that, you carry your mother's phone and say, I'm talking to anointing and you know, everybody has, if you don't have phone, you have somebody that has phone, you have a friend or something, or you can say, maybe your friend, anybody, maybe Shola or something, and you go and say, yeah, let us meet and listen to this thing again and talk about it again and fellowship about it again. That way too, it would be richer, because trust me, I know the Holy Spirit has a lot more to say beyond what I have said.